Hey, Pixel.
Hey, Paige.
How's it going?
I'm really excited.
Okay, good. Well,
Yeah.
before we get to your exciting episode, I just want to tell you, I think my son is seeing the ghost of my dead father.
Tell me everything.
So it started like a few weeks ago. I have a sweater that used to be my dad's, and I wore it one day, and I walked out of my bedroom, and he looked at me and unprompted said, "Grandpa, my dad died when he was 3 weeks old," which
Oh,
is really sad, but also he don't know my
of course,
dad,
no recognition.
right? So like, how would he know that that's my dad's sweater?
Pictures of him in it? Not that he
Not
would put it
really.
together, but.
No, because like we really don't have like a, I don't personally have a ton of pictures of him, and the one that I know that we've showed him, he does not have that sweater on. So it doesn't come up again for a few weeks, and then a couple of nights ago, we're getting him ready for bed, and he gets really sad, like crying. And I'm like, "Buddy, what's wrong?" And he goes, "My grandpa, I miss him. My grandpa's gone." And I'm like, "Honey." And so I asked him, I said, "Are you talking about Pops?" Which is my husband's dad. And he said, "No." And we were like, "Are you talking about Papa?" Which is his great grandfather. So my husband's grandfather. And he was like, no, grandpa." And I'm just like, "Well, honey, I don't know where." And he's like inconsolable, like so upset that he doesn't know where his grandpa is. And I'm just like, why does he want to know? And like, it's like super sweet, but also like, is grandpa in the room with us right now? Is he, can you see him? And I can't. So
Aw, I love that.
it was, I was crying. He was like, "I miss him." And I was like, "Yeah, I miss him too." That was rough. So
Fucking welcome to Paige Pixel, I guess. The podcast where we hurt each other with our bittersweet stories and then talk about video games sometimes.
Yes, video games.
Yes, today. Today we will be sharpening our swords, steel for humans, silver for monsters, because it's time to talk about The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. As always, spoilers abound.
Are is this the same as like the Henry Cavill Witcher? Is this the
We'll
same
get into
world?
it. It's the
Okay.
same universe. We'll get into
Okay.
it. We'll get into
Okay.
it. So The Witcher 3 was developed by CD Projekt Red in 2015. So I told y'all before, I'm not a timely person. I play games when I want to. I revisit them. So like you got lucky last time with Silent Hill F, but most of the games I really like, they're back a decade or so, and you're just gonna have to pull up your big girl panties and deal with it.
That's okay.
Yeah. So The Witcher 3 is, as you might have guessed, the third game in the Witcher franchise. And these games are open world RPGs.
What? I don't know what
Okay,
that
so
means.
great. So an open world game, it means that the map, or at least large swaths of it, like the areas you can go to in the game, are available to you, and you can go wherever you want to and do pretty much what you want in whatever order you want, save for some story missions that have to happen in order. But
Gotcha.
like you can do side quests and treasure hunts and horse races and boxing matches and like just,
Boxing
oh
matches?
yeah. Oh yeah, Fists of Fury.
Fantastic.
There's all sorts of things you can do or not do them. You can just do the story missions if you want. It's very like open world. It is your game. You can do what you want with it. You
The
can make
world
of
is
it what
your
you want.
oyster.
It certainly is. So Paige, you might be interested to know that these games are sort of based on a series of fantasy novels.
Yeah, the Witcher ones, the Polish guy, right?
Yes. So The Witcher Saga is a series of 8 books written by Andrzej Sapkowski. At least I think that's how you say it. And the reason I say they are sort of based on the books is that though all of the characters in the game are based on the ones from the book, the events of the game take place immediately after the end of the books. So
Oh, so it's like a
it's a
sequel.
continuation. It's not an adaptation. It is a continuation
That's pretty cool.
of the story. Yeah. And as you mentioned, there is also a Netflix show, and the show is an adaptation of the books.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to go into that really at all, even That's though fine. Henry Cavill plays the main character, and I do want to put my tongue in his little chin dimple.
But isn't it like Liam Hemsworth now? And he's gross.
Yeah, I won't watch the season with him. I think Henry Cavill is coming back.
Oh, wow.
Because it was such a failure.
Because he was like, I can't stand this. Because he's like a huge nerd, right?
Right. They wanted like, to make changes that weren't in line with the heart of the character, etc. So he was becoming difficult to work with. They got rid of him. But now they brought him back. Because he, like, I guess we'll talk about it real quick. I'm not a huge fan of the show. I think they did a lot not great. But he is nailing it. Like, he is Geralt of Rivia.
I heard, and I guess I don't really know if it's true because it's from the internet, but I heard that, like, he would go and they would try to, like, put makeup on him to make him look dirty, and he was like, no.
He would go
roll around in the dirt and make himself look dirty. And I'm like, that's awesome.
He's committed. He's gorgeous. So here's the thing. I'm very much, like, not a visual person. Like, I'm not really, like, visually attracted to much of. And it's just not a thing that I experience. There are.
Can't relate.
Yeah, sure. I know it's me. I know it's like a very not a common thing. But like Henry Cavill overrides that. He's just so pretty. I can't help it.
Even with the mustache?
I'm not a big facial hair person. And I feel like he has a perfect face that I don't want to be covered. So I'm going to say without the mustache, but also like I support him and his bodily autonomy.
True.
Anyway, you had mentioned that all of this is from Poland. And that's true. Like this game, these books, that is like the main Polish cultural export. it is seriously their like artistic claim to fame. And the game is full of like traditional Polish music and Polish folklore.
Oh, that's really cool.
It is really cool. It's very cool. You may not know this about me, but I'm not usually into fantasy as a genre. And I don't have any specific gripes with it. It just doesn't speak to me in the way that some other genres do. But I absolutely make an exception for The Witcher. Like, I will say right at the top, I really like this game. Sweet. And its fantasy-ness does not interfere with that, as it does with so many other like movies and games and books that I've tried to engage with, and it just hasn't worked.
Gotcha.
Like this, much like Henry Cavill overrides my kind of meh-ness about the way every human being looks, this overrides my meh-ness about fantasy.
All right.
So, The Witcher 3 is set in a fantasy world populated by humans, monsters of all kinds, halflings, godlings, elves, and witchers. So, witchers are men who have been taken as young children and have had certain rituals performed on them and potions given to them. And these things make them stronger and faster. It gives them slight magical ability. It increases their senses, especially sight and smell. It greatly extends their lifespan, and it suppresses, though doesn't completely eliminate, their emotions.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So transformation is extremely painful, often deadly, doesn't work in women at all. That's why witchers are all men. That's just in the lore, whatever.
Boo.
I agree, boo. But those who do survive are then trained to become monster killing machines. So then witchers make their money by like, they roam around the countryside, they take contracts from people. They are paid to kill monsters.
So they're all like freelancers. It's not some sort of like, this is the guild of witchers.
There are like, they kind of live together. There are kind of factions. There's different schools. So like Geralt is in the wolf school, but it's like kind of loose associations. They're basically independent contractors, and they are intentionally like non-political. They don't ally themselves with any country, or they're kind of mercenaries almost. Okay. But they mostly just wander around and they kill monsters and they get paid for it. So now that you know what a witcher is, let's rock this bitch. Now, even though I'm going to give you as clear a plot overview as I can, like you have to understand, as with most open world games, this is a massive game. I cannot possibly cover even close to everything in it. I'm going to miss some stuff. I might even, dear listener, neglect to mention your favorite thing. I'm truly sorry. Like, for example, there's all this political stuff in the background. Like one kingdom is at war with another kingdom who is allied with another kingdom. There's Redanians. There's Nilfgaardians. And I could not possibly care less about this subplot.
Right.
Could not give less of a shit.
I think that politics stuff is like the only thing that keeps me from like really enjoying like high fantasies, because sometimes I'm just like,
yeah,
I don't care about these major kingdoms.
Not at all. Not at all. And if that hurts your feelings at home, you can tell me what my ass tastes like.
Well, you cannot say these things to our fans. They're never going to come back.
They like begging. I can tell. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. Just get over it. Okay. We don't have to. Oh my God.
So here's the highlights of The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. You are Geralt of Rivia. That's the main playable character.
Yeah.
He is a witcher, as you might have guessed, and you are looking for your adopted daughter, Ciri.
Okay.
Now, adopted, you might ask. Intriguing. So remember how earlier I said that witchers are taken as children.
Uh-huh.
And all this shit is done to make them witchers.
Uh-huh.
Well, the way that witchers get custody of children is through something called the Law of Surprise.
What?
So basically, in lieu of payment for fulfilling a monster contract, a witcher can claim the Law of Surprise instead, which states that the treasure you have that you do not yet know you have is what the witcher will receive as payment. So sometimes this takes the form of like a stray cat that's wandered into your barn. Sometimes it's a coin you find in your pocket. Sometimes it's an inheritance from a relative you didn't know had died. But sometimes the Law of Surprise comes in the form of a pregnancy that you don't know about yet.
Who's pregnant?
Either the person that contracted with you or their spouse.
Oh, okay. I was like, the Witcher gets pregnant?
No, but basically, like, so let's
say, Omegaverse type stuff going
on. No. No. So the way that works is, like, let's say, so what happened with Ciri is Geralt helped out her dad.
Okay.
Claimed the Law of Surprise because he didn't really want payment from the dad. He was just doing him a solid. He was like, whatever. And then dad didn't know his girlfriend was pregnant at the time.
So what is it, like magic that chooses what it is?
It's fate. Fate decides what your payment is when you claim.
So how do they figure out what the payment is?
It's like the first thing you learn about after the Law of Surprise is.
Okay, so he'll be like, Law of Surprise is your payment, he'll go home and his girlfriend's like, I'm pregnant,
It was even quicker than that. He's like, Law of Surprise, the dad was like, okay, and then his girlfriend just starts puking.
Oh.
He's like, actually. So she knew, but he didn't, and the contract was between daddy and. So anyway, there's a lot more that goes into it, but yeah, like, she was Brianna's aunt, and so eventually Geralt, fate forced him to take custody of Ciri and basically like raise her as his own when she's a bit older.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's how Geralt came to be basically a dad to Ciri. And Ciri is no ordinary girl. She carries in her veins elder blood.
Sure, that sounds important.
Yeah, well, she has like all sorts of powers. She can teleport. She can yell so loud it can kill people, which, same girl. Brief aside to our listeners.
Hey, I live with a toddler. I know what that sounds like.
And also, like, friends at home, I know I'm too loud. I know I'm making these mics clip out sometimes. We're working on it. Like we said last episode, we got a new setup and a new mixer. So just, I'm sorry for what I am. I'm working on it.
Don't ever apologize for who you are.
Mm. But yeah, elder blood is very rare indeed. So so there are lots of people from like all over the morality spectrum who want to maybe control Ciri and her power, maybe destroy her and it. And the very worst of these forces that's out to get Ciri is called the Wild Hunt.
Okay.
I could get so far into the weeds explaining what the Wild Hunt is, but basically, there is this like creeping frozen void that is slowly spreading and will one day engulf the whole universe.
Oh,
and the Wild Hunt has sort of like harnessed the force of this creeping frozen void. and they're like dimension hoppers. So they'll like open a portal and show up, and they have these like badass suits of armor, and everything gets all icy when they show up. It's very cool.
Yeah.
But they're bad news, and they are out to kill Ciri because she is like the universe's only hope to defeat this creeping ice void thing.
But I feel like, yeah, cool, you can harness that power, but eventually, like, if it's spreading,
they're evil.
It's going to take you too.
They're fantasy evil, and they don't.
I just hate when people don't have brains, when they don't use logic.
Yeah. No, totally. Like, I'm not going to lie, I don't quite understand what motivates the Wild Hunt. And some of that is that, like, there's more to them than can be experienced in the confines of this game. Like, there's some background lore that I haven't really experienced. So, like, I'm telling you what I know, and it's enough to get what's happening in this game. But, like, I don't know what makes them tick.
Okay.
I don't know what turns them on. I just know they want Ciri dead because they really like the
ice
creeping
powers.
Ice void.
They like cosplaying Elsa. That's what they like doing.
Yeah. I mean, like, fuck, oil companies are destroying our fucking planet for immediate benefit, and they're not thinking about the future. It's not like there aren't entities that operate
it's
like
a
this.
Metaphor.
But yeah, like, as with most fantasy, the lore does lose me at some point, but, like, this is enough to get the emotional impact of the game that we're talking about. So Ciri, in this game, she is fleeing the Wild Hunt. And Geralt is trying to find her so that you can help her defeat them.
Okay.
And this pursuit takes you all over the place. You go through Velen, which is this huge-ass swamp. And then you go to Novigrad, which is the big city. And then there's the Isles of Skellige, which is like the Nordic countries. Point is, you're here, you're there, you're everywhere, trying to find your kid, who is actually a young adult. So the gameplay involves you getting clues and hints as to where she might be. Doing favors for people so they'll give you information, as well as just exploring and killing monsters and doing whatever you want because it's an open world game.
Nice.
And Geralt always manages to be a step behind Ciri.
That's so annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
But I mean, I get you got to keep playing the game.
Exactly. Exactly. You finally learn, though, that she has been traveling with an elf named Avalach.
Sure.
It's got the Avalach. Yeah, it's got it on the end. And he claims that he's going to help her fight the Wild Hunt. And it's true, Avalach has taught Ciri how to control her elder powers.
Okay.
It's like, Geralt taught her how to fight and take care of herself, but, like, the magic shit was out of his depth.
Yeah.
But Avalach knows what he's doing, so he taught her. And she has a lot more control than she did before, and Ciri feels loyalty to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that. But Geralt does not trust Avalach. And some of that is like elves and witchers don't always get along, and elves kind of look down on everyone else and like keep their secrets to themselves. And
elves.
There's some, you know, there's some tension across species going on. But yeah, Geralt is not a fan of Avalach. He thinks he's just using Ciri like everyone else has done, and he's kind of right about that.
Okay.
To an extent. Avalach orchestrates a showdown between the Wild Hunt and Geralt and the army of friends that Geralt has gathered to him. And they're all people that you've met earlier in the game, and their willingness to fight alongside you depends on, like, how your interactions with them went earlier.
Oh, my God.
So, like, side quests are optional, but they could be super important in the end, like if they like you or not. And it doesn't, like, at no point does it make it impossible if you piss everyone off, but, like, it makes the game much harder if you don't have other people.
Like, you really gotta be nice.
Yeah, you gotta help people out. You can't step on too many. You're gonna step on some toes or some characters that it's like, if you help one, you're gonna piss the other one off. So you just have to decide. But yeah, in general, like, making friends helps at the end of this game. But it turns out that this showdown that Avalach orchestrated, that's just to keep Geralt and his friends busy. Because Avalach takes Ciri to this tall tower where he opens what is called the World Gate. And the World Gate will take Ciri directly to the edge of the creeping ice void.
Oh.
Because killing the Wild Hunt is not ultimately going to save the universe, but destroying the creeping ice void at the source will.
Okay.
And, like, so Avalok tricked Geralt and kind of tricked Ciri, but, like, Ciri is down. Ciri wants to save the world.
Right. Like, so he's not, trying to, he's not just doing it for, he's being manipulative, but he's doing it so that the universe doesn't
rise.
Right. So, like.
He's a morally gray character.
I can feel morally gray here.
Yeah. Geralt, however, figures out what Avalok is up to just in the nick of time and confronts him and Ciri at the top of this tower. And at first, Geralt just wants to kill Avalok for trying to put Ciri in danger. See, he's a Papa Bear. Big Papa Bear energy.
Yeah, it seems like it.
But she stops him and she says, no, I want to do this. And he has to let her go try.
Ugh, the little bird's leaving the nest.
I know. So Ciri steps through the world gate into the ice void. And at this moment, you see flashbacks from various moments earlier in the game, specifically like what you did and the choices you made.
Oh, okay.
And I did not know this when I played the game until this reveal, but there are 5 key interactions in the game that you can have with Ciri. And how these interactions go determines whether or not Ciri survives and defeats the ice. The thing is, you don't, like I said, you don't know what these key interactions are while they're happening. And it is not at all clear what the right answer is going to be. So basically, like, there are conversations you have with her. There are various dialogue options. And you have to pick the right one 3 out of 5 times in order to get the good ending. And you kind of learn that, like, the right choices are the ones that support Ciri and her feelings, that affirm her ability to take care of herself. Like, if you coddle her too much, it doesn't go well. If you try to daddy her too much, it doesn't go well. Like, you gotta let her be who she is and make
it. I'm a peacock, you gotta let me fly.
Precisely.
You know what movie that's from.
I know I've heard it. What is it?
Oh, what is it? Oh, God, no, I can't think of it. It's got Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell in it, and I can't think of it right now.
Is it, the other guys?
Yes. Yeah.
Nailed it.
I want like a shirt or something that says that on it because I just think it's hilarious.
Because they don't fly. That's the joke. They're flightless birds. Comedy. So anyway, I fucked this up the first time because I didn't know that that's what the game was looking for. I only got 2 of the interactions right.
So were you coddling her or were you being a jerk?
I was being a little overprotective.
Oh, okay.
I was being a little overprotective. I'll explain later, like, some of the specifics of those choices. But yeah, I got it wrong. Ciri died, and the game ended with Geralt riding off into increasingly dangerous battles because he just wants to die, too.
Oh.
Thankfully.
That's great.
Thankfully, the last, like, significant interaction that I messed up was, like, right before the end game sequence, so I didn't have to go that far back and replay that much.
Gotcha.
To get the good ending. And in the good ending, Ciri survives and defeats the ice void thing and then goes on to fight alongside Geralt, like, as a lady witcher. Even though she hasn't had the stuff done, or she's powerful enough, she can handle it, she can do the job.
Nice.
So she becomes a witcher, too, yes. Her dad. And Geralt eventually gets to retire and shack up with whichever hot sorceress you decided to be with earlier in the game.
Oh, my gosh.
So, that's, like, a brief plot overview, but my favorite moment of the game actually happens in one of the DLCs. Do you know what DLC is?
No.
Okay, that's fine. It stands for downloadable content.
Oh, okay. So I've heard of that before.
It's extra game stuff that's released after the main game has been out.
Yeah, Animal Crossing did that.
Yes.
That's all. That's the only reference I have for video games.
No, but that's what it is. And you have to pay a little extra for it. And so, like, I guess it kind of sucks that the best part of the game is not in the original game. It's in the DLC, but, like, it's so good and, like, well worth the extra money. So, way in the beginning of the actual game, and, like, they knew they were going to have this DLC because, like, the characters that they use in the DLC are in the game already. Uh-huh. They just kind of pulled them out. So, in the beginning of the game, you have a brief interaction with this guy He helps you out of a jam. It's super brief. Nothing really seems weird about it. There's nothing noteworthy. You forget that it happens, basically.
Okay.
Until you run into the same guy at the start of the DLC. And he's basically like, remember me, motherfucker? I'll help you out again. But it's not going to be free this time.
Oh, all right.
This man is Gaunter O'Dim. And he is the Polish folklore version of, like, the devil at the crossroads.
Oh, fun.
Yes. Okay. So you make a deal with him, and it never, ever goes your way. Gotcha. So since he has now helped you twice, because he kind of helps you out in the beginning of the DLC, too, he expects something from you in return now. He wants you, Geralt, to fulfill three wishes for this other man, Olgierd von Everick. So basically, Gaunter says, if you can do everything Olgierd asks, then both of you get out of your contracts with me, and I'll let you go. So for Geralt, getting out of the contract means he just goes on about his merry way. But for Olgierd, that means that he's finally allowed to die.
Oh.
Olgierd long ago was granted immortality by Gaunter O'Dim, but in exchange, Olgierd loses the ability to feel any emotion ever again.
That's not a very good deal.
Turns out it wasn't a good deal. And he spends his days doing, like, increasingly extreme things just to feel something, and he never does, so he wants out of this existence.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
But yes, it's also terrible. So to get out of his contract, he needs Geralt to do three things for him. The first is he has to give his dead brother, Olgierd's dead brother, the most fun day of his life. But he's dead, right? So, like, basically, like, Geralt has to let him possess his body, and they crash a wedding together.
Like a Weekend at Bernie's type thing.
Yes. It's so fun.
That's hilarious.
It's really funny. It's a great sequence. So after you've done that, you have to steal a little scale model of a house from this auctioneer. And, like, I'm not going to go into the details. It's hard. It's tough. He doesn't want to let it go. Whatever. Geralt okay. does it. And finally, you have to retrieve the flower that he proposed to his wife with. Which becomes this, like, symbolic thing where, like, you go and you meet her ghost, because Olgierd doesn't know that, like, his wife has died.
Okay.
And you basically, like, Geralt helps her to move on, because she has been waiting for Olgierd to come to his senses and to come back for her and atone for what he did by, like, trading his ability to love her for immortality.
Yeah.
And you're like, babe, he's never going to do that. He kind of sucks. Move on.
Let that shit go.
And she does. She, like, goes on to the next whatever is next and leaves behind the flower, fresh as the day it was used to propose to her. And after all these quests are done, Gaunter O'Dim comes to kill Olgierd once and for all. And even then, Geralt has the option to try to save Olgierd and kill Gaunter. I chose not to do that because Gaunter is low-key the best, and I did not like Olgierd.
He seems like kind of an idiot.
So. Yeah. Like, the whole DLC was fun, and the quests were fun, but the best part about it is, like, the slow burn of seeing just how evil and powerful Gaunter O'Dim is. Uh-huh. Like, at first, he seems like this, like, regular dumpy bald dude. And then, like, you see him, and he's, like, sitting on the top of a really tall signpost in the middle of a field. So it's like, how did you even get up there? There's no ladder. Like, it's kind of like, it doesn't call attention to it, but it's weird.
He Mulan'd it.
Yeah, it's like, eerie, but in a way that the game doesn't, like, call attention to. But as a player, it's like, why is he up there? It's just nothing else is like it in the game. And then, like, he winds up in even more impossible places. Like, suddenly he's appearing on a boat in the middle of a storm at sea when he was not on this boat before. And then he displays that he has the ability to stop time.
So this character is now throughout the game?
This is all through the DLC.
Because he keeps showing up.
Yeah, well, you're doing stuff with Olgierd. He's checking and he's seeing, like, how you doing? Getting him out of this contract. What's up, buddy?
Gotcha.
So, like, it's this slow build. And then another time, he stops time. And then he fucking, like, murders this man who he shoves a spoon into his brain through his eye just because the guy, like, was drunk and interrupted him while he was trying to talk. And the last time the UC Gaunter O'Dim. He first appears as like a dot way up in the sky, and you watch him like slowly walk down from the sky like he's on an invisible staircase. And it is just the most badass thing ever. But like the slow burn from dumpy peasant to spoon murder and sky stairs, it is so well done and so scary and so satisfying.
Okay.
It's great. It's great. Like, I don't know.
I would play that game, like just the DLC.
You can just play the DLC, except you go into it with like whatever you've amassed in your main game. So like you would be level one and you'd get your shit wrecked. I find a lot.
I need them to play. I need them to make a full game of just that.
I mean, there might be a mod where you can just kind of. I don't know exactly how.
I don't know. I'm probably never going to play it. It's fine.
No, it's fine. So the part where I wanted to smash the controller. I was very frustrated when I fucked up the ending and killed Siri. It is wild to me that so much was riding on five interactions where it was not at all clear, like at all clear what the right answer would be. Like during one of these interactions, my choices were like between saying, I know what can cheer you up, and saying, whether you fail or succeed, I'm always with you.
That's just like parenting.
I know. So I said the second one, but apparently that was fucking wrong. I was supposed to say the first thing, and then like it unlocks this like cute little snowball fight with her, but I didn't know that that's what would happen. And like later,
way to go.
I know. She has the option to like destroy Avalok's lab, or I can try to calm her down. So in my headspace, I'm thinking if she loses control of her temper, people can die because she's very powerful.
Uh-huh.
So my thought was like, I got to calm her down. I got to tell her, take deep breaths and simmer down. No, I was supposed to smash up the lab with her, apparently. So I don't know. I couldn't tell what the game wanted
me to do. It's like parenting in real life, only instead of therapy, she dies.
Well, I'm like, it could very much be the difference between parenting a young adult and parenting. Like, I have a toddler right now. So like, the only parenting I know how to do is of a 3.5-year-old. Maybe it changes.
Deep breaths are the only thing that get you through the day when you're a toddler.
Yes. So like, I couldn't tell what the game wanted me to do. I did not take it well when I learned that I had been wrong and that I would have to go back and redo part of the game.
What? You got mad that you were wrong? No way. That doesn't sound like you at all.
Fuck up, Paige. So, but yeah, it didn't end up being that bad. I went back. It was fine. It was fine. The character that I had a what now? A crush on?
Was it Geralt?
No. I like Geralt. I liked playing as Geralt. But, Henry Cavill. Yes.
But not video game Geralt. Not
video game Geralt. You're not allowed to judge me for this, but it was definitely Gaunter O'Dim.
Is that a hear me out?
He's a very scary, and he's very smart, and he's very tricksy. And like, it's not even that I think I can fix him. I don't want to fix him. I just want to be on his good side and kiss him right on the top of his stupid bald head. It's like, it's kind of like how, you know, how there are like women who write to and sometimes even like marry serial killers who are in prison. And like, psychologically, they say it's because like, if the scariest person you know is on your side, then who's going to hurt you? Which is incredibly flawed logic, but also.
The scary person is who's going to hurt you.
But also, come here, Gaunter baby.
Oh my god.
In terms of like, let's talk gameplay mechanics.
Okay.
So we already talked about this is an open world game, but like aside from that, this is your standard make the numbers go up game. You level up by completing quests, which unlocks character upgrades and better armor and better weapons, and you make money and you find stuff throughout the game. So you can afford to buy better armor and have better weapons. So, like, basically, you keep getting stronger as you play, but the enemies do, too. So I think the game did a really good job of maintaining, like, it was never so hard that I wanted to quit. It was never so easy that I was bored. It just kept a good balance the whole time. Combat was good. It's simple. Like, one button does quick attack. One does, like, slower or heavier attack.
Okay.
One dodges. You can do five different kinds of magic. Yeah. You can set a magic trap that slows enemies down and does light damage when they wander into the confines of it. You can shoot fire.
Nice.
You can shoot a blast of wind.
Okay.
You can do mind control, kind of. I was never good at I didn't really do that one much. I wasn't good at it. Or, and this was my favorite, you can put up a shield that heals you and does damage, like, to other... So when they hit it, it does damage to them and it heals.
Oh,
and
okay.
And then if you level up, the shield, like, explodes and hurts them.
Oh.
Shield is my favorite. But the combat, it looks good. It feels good. Weapon and armor upgrades are fun. Nothing bad to say about the combat.
Does it, like... Because you said it came out in 2015?
Yes.
Does it... Does the graphics hold up
from
10 years ago?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that it's still... Like, it's not as, like, crisp as some of the games that have come out in the last few years. But, like, I didn't have any complaints about how it looked. Nice. The horse riding was really smooth. But like, seriously, it's not often the case in a lot of games. Like, anything that you try to control or drive that is not your character, like horses, cars, planes, boats, whatever, it's hard. Like, it's just kind of janky. It's easy to crash. It doesn't feel as smooth as walking does. But the horse riding in this game was as easy to control as the walking. And that's like a mirror. I've heard it wasn't like that originally, and they had to patch it to make it better. But I played it for the first time, like, within the past year.
Oh, okay.
So, when I came to it, those horses, it's like we mind-melded. Me and my horse. The horse's name is Roach.
Roach?
Yeah, that's the horse's name.
Papa Roach?
Nope. Just Roach.
Well, Geralt is Papa, so it's Papa and Roach.
Papa's Roach.
Papa's Roach.
Don't like it.
Gross.
The only janky thing mechanics-wise is that my game crashed every time I spent too long in Novigrad, which is, like, the big city. I think it's probably because there was just too much going on in, like, limited space and it overloaded the system. But it got super annoying because you have to be in Novigrad for a good part of the game, and it just kept crashing. It was very frustrating.
Odd. Why would...
No, that happens with open world games because there's just so much happening. There's so much being processed that the system just kind of shits itself.
Oh, make less be processed. Why are you putting so much stuff in?
It just, I don't know. I'm not a game developer. I just know what happens. And with the exception of like the Grand Theft Auto, like Rockstar game universe, they're very good at fixing those problems. Every other open world game, it just gets fucky.
Huh.
And I don't exactly know why.
Interesting.
Yeah. But overall, I really liked this game. Like, I have sunk easily 100 hours into this game. Just wandering around and doing shit. Because there's so much to do. Like, Paige, I haven't even mentioned Gwent to you.
I feel like that would overwhelm me. Like, I need I need confines. I need things to happen.
I used to think that until I actually played open world games. And there is just enough structure with, like, the story missions being in order. That it really does, like, keep you from spiraling into a million pieces. Like, I was afraid of open world games for a long time. And it turns out, like, they're fun. It just, they might take longer because you're doing side shit. But, like, you also don't have to do. But, like, Gwent is an in-game card game. And it is so fucking fun. Like, they've made a version of it that you can buy in real life. And I think I have to because it's my favorite card game, and it was just made as, like, a side thing you can do this video game. It is so fucking fun. If you want a bone, you can do that in this game. Like, Geralt is such a slut. There were times when I was actively trying not to make out with some random girl because my heart belonged to my hot sorceress, Yennefer. But, like, I was still, like... kiss someone before figuring out how to get him the fuck out of there. Like, he is just the horniest horn dog.
That's very interesting.
He can have sex with, like, almost any female character in the game. I don't think you can make him have sex with men, which is lame. I wanted him to have sex with Dandelion, but that's a whole other... He's a bard. Dandelion's great. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
But, like, whatever you want to do except for have sex with a man, you can do in this game. It's all here. So. Overall, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10.
All right.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the people about Instagram?
Yeah. So, if you like what you're hearing, you can go follow us at on Instagram at Page and Pixel PC. That's no spaces, nothing. Well, obviously no spaces, no dots, no underscores. You're spelling
out the and. It's not an ampersand. Yeah, and
Page and Pixel PC on Instagram. Follow us. Also rate this episode. Rate all of our episodes. Smash that 5 stars. Okay.
Share them.
Tell everyone you know about this podcast. We're gonna make it. We're gonna take the world by storm.
I'm gonna quit my day job.
No, you're not. Stop saying that.
Whatever. Should we sign off?
Yeah. Are we doing the same thing?
Can you think of? I can't.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Read hard.
Play hard.
And fuck ice.